Hey y'all, you're listening to another episode of Big Facts No Cap, the only podcast that's number one with horse gals and snake pals. You're here with Paul and Adrian doing a weird TikTok dance on the other end of the line. Let's get into it.
Big Facts
No
Cap.
Big Facts
No
Cap.
No Cap.
Big Facts
No
Cap.
Big Facts
No
Cap.
No Cap.
Big Facts
No.
Cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
No Cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
No Cap.
Adrian, are you familiar with that feeling of you start cooking palak paneer and then you realize it's 10 minutes before you have to record your podcast? So then you have to ask your podcast co-host for 30 extra minutes before your start time?
Sure.
Okay, cool. This was just some observational comedy for you, some stuff I'm working out to do on stage.
Did you not realize how long it takes to cook down spinach or what was going on?
I think I just wasn't thinking about it. I was excited to make it, and I was just blanking.
Hey, we're all excited to make palak paneer. That's ubiquitous. How'd it turn out? Okay. We got a thumbs up from Paul on the other side, while he continues to scarf down some mouthfuls. He's going breadless, no roti, no naan, just for the audience.
You know I don't have like an authentic heat source to make roti. I don't have like an open face grill top. I don't know. How do you make roti?
You're not going to go with the specialized equipment of a tandoor. You're going to go with a hot surface is what you don't have.
Wait, what's that? The tandoor is the metal plates that lock around it.
That's the oven that you use where you slap the naan on to make it and it sticks and then it heats. And then I think Georgians have something very similar.
We're not all India geniuses like you, Adrian.
Well, the whole point of this pod is to educate people, so here we go. Let's talk about different cooking methods of flatbreads. How do you make your lavash?
We didn't all Google what do they do in India because we had a crush on an Indian girl and read the entire Wikipedia page for India like you did,
for what
Adrian.
Do they do in India?
Yeah, what do they do in India?
What do they do in there? That makes sense.
You're the weirdo who Googled that.
That's
sat
true.
Up all night reading the Wikipedia page.
You know, I can't say that this happens often with Paul, but somehow he was able to make me the asshole in this situation through very reasonable responses.
All it took was reasonably going from one logical statement to the next. Inductive reasoning, my friend.
It would actually be weird to have that knowledge. You're actually the weirdo, not me. Interesting. Ooh, speaking of Wikipedia, I feel like we do this over the phone, but not over the pod very often. Do you want to answer a trivia question that fucked us over at trivia this week? It was a 3-point question, and we got it completely wrong.
Yeah, let's do it.
Three European cities, capitals, that start with a B, that all lie along the Danube River in Europe.
Budapest.
Okay, that's from a Wes Anderson movie, but good try.
There's no way the Danube goes to Berlin, but I can't even think of other B ones, so I'd have to say that, even though I don't feel like it turns north.
Okay, interesting choice.
Okay, I'll go Berlin just because it's another B city. And
Athens.
Athens? What's that?
It's the capital of Greece, Athens.
Oh, really? Did not know that. You see, I'm learning something.
Yeah, I'm definitely not just putting B in front of Athens. I'm definitely not just doing the joke that we were doing while we were trying to think of answers. You learn something new every day on this pod.
I was like, what's Athens? Okay, I guess I just don't know about that city.
You think it would be their largest city, but it's actually Athens. The all-blood community.
And of course, all bodies of water are connected, so I'm going to go with Beijing.
We put Berlin, Bern, and Brussels, which would be weird, but could theoretically be connected by a river.
Say the Danube is the one that runs like under, it's like running above those like Adriatic Sea countries. It's like running, like Budapest is the one I'm confident about because it's definitely
that would have
that area.
Because we did not think Eastern Europe, so we did not think Budapest, Bratislava, and Belgrade.
Belgrade, I know. I don't even know Bratislava. What country is that in?
Serbia is Belgrade. I can't remember. And also, it didn't help that it's kind of mean-spirited to ask a Europe question that you can't answer from thinking about soccer teams. That's real fucked up. a little brain teaser to start us off to educate the audience.
My brain is teased.
Hey, there you go. I'm a little teased. That's what they always say. Hee hee.
All right, since you brought something in, I'll bring something in special. What happened to TED Talks? Remember when people
used to be
like...
This is a brain teaser? I'm supposed to...
No, it's not a brain teaser.
Oh,
it's
you're just bringing something in. Okay.
It's something I was thinking about earlier today, and I was like, I should ask Adrian about that. Maybe this will unlock some deep, interesting thoughts in his head.
You think I've been keeping up heavy with TED Talks?
No, I think nobody has. That's what I'm saying. What happened to them? They used to be so relevant. Remember when people would be like, have you seen this TED Talk about this? And you'd be like, oh yeah, a teacher showed it to me. Or
that's true. I mean, maybe they just don't have the conferences anymore. I mean, one of the guys that I work with in a education outreach...
When was the last time somebody brought one up to you? I think undergrad for me.
No, in grad school, because one of the guys that I do education outreach with was a TED fellow. Like, he was specifically funded as a postdoc through the TED Foundation, and he, like, gave a TED Talk and stuff. So, I guess that was maybe 6 years ago?
Don't the, like, real TED Talks actually pay really well? Or at least they're really expensive to go to.
That's what I know, is that they were expensive to go to. I only went to TEDx events, which was the cool type of TED.
The anarchist TED, where they let on cranks and weirdos constantly who could pad their resume with saying they'd spoken at a TED event.
That is true. Did I speak at that event, or did Hunter speak at an event and I helped write the speech? I can't remember. I don't remember presenting. I remember it was weird because it was part music. It was part, like, one guy playing cello. There was one dude who talked about the benefits of nuclear power. There was one person who talked about something in the context of feminism. And that's all I remember from that conference.
The benefits of nuclear power. Number one among them, the power. You can sell it.
Yeah. Was that, y'all ever see The Simpsons?
You can put that right on the grid, and that's cash money right there, baby.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other ones that I remember? I can't remember.
Do you remember that popular one that used to go around? I guess, I feel like it went around in undergrad as like, as you're starting to interview for jobs after college, this type of stuff is important. And it was a blonde woman.
Yeah. Why'd you say broad?
Her research was about, like, you should, like, do special poses to, like, up your endorphins or to up your confidence.
Yeah, research that's been thoroughly debunked.
Well, okay, now that you said that, I feel like I was gonna make fun of it, but now that you said that, it feels like I'm casting myself as having been right early. I liked it better when I didn't know that it had actually been debunked by science, so I can make fun of it as obviously bullshit.
I mean, that's happened. I don't know if it was a TED Talk, but I remember hearing the theory that, more people die during hurricanes that are named after women because they take them less seriously. And I found out from a postdoc in my lab, like, second year of grad school, he was like, no, the data from that's very flawed. That's not true.
Damn. You ruined my take on that. Or I can't say, oh, that sounds stupid, if it's actually been debunked.
I think you can. I think you're still allowed to say that.
I know, but it takes away the fun of it. It's fun to
Let's bring up something else. How do you feel about the lab leak hypothesis for COVID? But I was going to talk more about other TED Talks that I remember. I remember the guy who tried to live by the Bible for a year. I remember Sam Harris's talk on...
To what end was it? To be like, the Bible is stupid? Or to be like, it actually improved my life? Or
it was about...
One of those smart things where he's like, I'm an atheist, but I realized that this book was written for a reason back in the day now because it did improve my life.
No, it was about how when you follow every single rule that the Bible lays out, it lays clear that everyone to some extent is doing cafeteria style selection of what they're picking out of the Bible. Oh. No one's following the Bible to a T. If you actually did, this is what it would look like. And it's pretty crazy. I think that was his main point.
I like how that went from like a TED Talk. I like how that went from something like an academic would do to now that that's a YouTube video. That's a 20 minute.
That's
ha-ha.
True.
Like,
I follow the routines of crazy dudes on TikTok for six mornings or whatever.
Yeah.
There was the one guy who made the argument that I think is actually very true, that people are only starting to really now make again, which is that atheists need church, if not to worship together, but like community, a place to like just get together and do things and be together.
Yeah, but community is good has been around forever. Like, I don't know.
I think it was a pretty good argument of like what the structure would actually look like, though. He was saying like we should basically have something like that beyond just like, hey, go out and hang out with people.
I don't know. Secular, like things that actually set themselves up as secular churches are always like weird nerd ass. Like, it's always kind of bullshit.
That's why I go to GameStop. That's my church.
Also, those things, as I know from, I do not remember his name, so I can't actually say Dr. Blank Blank, but Religion from Breakfast on YouTube. That stuff always dies out because if you don't have weird restrictive rules, it's just like in human psychology that it doesn't create any sort of like group
bonding. You don't create an in-group?
Yeah.
So he's really, it's really just like that freestyle thing where it's just like they let anybody up there. That's why the thing's going to eventually fail. There's
yeah, exactly.
No rules about like, who's allowed to just go up there.
Weird restrictive rules do create like a, I don't know, some sort of like psychological push.
We do
to
need to
stay
make
in these groups.
A QT BIPOC church that we all go to.
Because that would be the rule that you have to be a QT
yeah,
BIPOC?
It's restricted.
Oh, well, I think it's like. The way he puts it is like on action, so it's like how you live your life. That's why like no pork or no shellfish or whatever. And like when you put on like things that are hard to follow, it creates some sort of group cohesion. So I don't think it's so much like restrictive by who can join as much as like restrictive as in by the rules set.
There has to
no
be something
before
you bond
marriage.
Over, I see.
Yeah.
Well, now you're getting into the Neil deGrasse Tyson thing about, like, well, why are people talking about atheists getting together? It's like having a club for people who don't play golf. No one does that. There's nothing that really connects them.
Ooh, I'll join a club for people who don't play golf. Those golf courses are really nice. If I got to just walk around, like, if I could use it as a park or something.
Oh, you think it's people going to golf courses and just walking around?
Yeah.
Interesting.
We book the golf club as a non-golf playing group just to kind of, like, get a lay of the land, have a nice picnic out there.
That's a good idea.
Enjoy the green space.
Yeah, and then I think there have been a few YouTubers that I've watched that have made fun of particularly bad TED Talks over the last few years, but that's, I think, the last of their relevance.
Yeah, usually that's like TEDx Talks. So,
they really don't make the distinguishment between the ones where they let anybody up to the mic.
They let anybody up there.
I think TED Talks were like kind of, what's the word? I think they were where I learned a lot of the stupidest presentation styles of, like, someone sitting down and, like, waiting for 30 seconds and being like, see that? Now I have everyone's attention because I waited to speak. And it's like, this is so stupid. Let's do a quick demonstration. Everybody clap your hand. Now, see, that makes a lot of noise when everybody claps.
Are you making fun of what's that guy? Something McFarland, the singer who, like, made the entire audience. Not fast enough. That made the whole audience like clap and like he would like I don't know, there was like a TED Talk where a guy was up there and he would like jump and it would be like oh, you go like a tone up if I jump to the right, a tone down if I jump to the left, and he's like, look, we're making music together.
Oh no, I did not.
So you never sat in the bathroom before an interview and put your arms up above your head like you were celebrating a
triumph? I thought you were supposed to do the Superman pose.
Or did the Superman pose in the bathroom to get
I do that every damn day.
Nice.
Was there anything else you wanted to say about TED Talks that you brought up?
No, I think I'm good.
Oh, okay.
I feel like you had ideas, too. You made fun of me at first for being like, has this been banging around in your head?
I mean, I have ideas about TED Talks from when they're around. Yeah, I haven't been thinking about them.
You're not like, where'd they go?
I don't have a widow's peak at my house where I stand out and look for my my dead husband TED Talk to come back every day.
I think the Senate should have to pass a law that, like, when something like that was culturally relevant at one point dies, where they're like, just so everybody knows, it's dead now. We're done. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about TED Talks anymore. I think they should put a nail in that coffin.
R.I.P. Ted.
Oh, is that what happened? Ted went woke, so he went broke? Or did she go woke? You know, I've never asked this question before. It's not Ted Turner, too. It's not like one of his media enterprises. It's a different Ted, right?
It's not a guy named Ted. It's Technology Entertainment Design. I guess in that sense it is Ted, but yes, no, it's not named after some guy named Ted.
Okay.
Some of those talks definitely were technology, entertainment, or design, though.
Yeah, some of them were like, you should do the Superman in the bathroom so that you get your confidence up.
Soldier Boy?
Oh my gosh, we just finished TED and now we gotta go into Soldier Boy? Okay. Do you remember in middle school when everybody was like, you don't even know what Soldier Boy actually means, it's crazy. And then you were like, what does it mean? And they'd be like, I can't tell you, it's too disgusting. And so you had to go on Urban Dictionary and search Soldier Boy.
Wait,
and then there
for his name or for Superman and a hoe?
Oh, sorry, for Superman and a hoe, you're right, that's what it was.
What is that? What is that?
I think at the time, I realized nobody knew. It had like five different definitions on Urban Dictionary. They were all just random-ass sex acts. Well, all of them had a play on being Superman, but I'm not going to describe them in detail. But there was enough of them that I was like, I don't think everybody who's saying they know what it is thinking of the same one.
There's like, little S on the chest?
That was not one of them, but that's funny.
That's just what one of your friends thought that injury reserve song was about.
Yeah. Shout out. I don't think Sean would be embarrassed to be named. He was like, I don't like that song, man. It's disgusting. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, S on your chest? Gross. And I was like, I think they're just talking about Superman, dude. He's like, oh, I thought it was shit on your chest.
You know, in context, it makes a lot of sense. It's hard. I can see why it'd be hard to distinguish.
Shout out to Sean. I miss you, man.
Hey, shout out Sean, friend of the pod.
All right, now that we finished talking about Soldier Boy, Yin Gang twins, what's up with them?
What is up with them?
Yin? I don't know what happened to him. Yang? Canceled. Yin? Woke.
And one was black with a white eye, and one was white with a black eye? All right. Do you got any media roundup or anything?
Oh, do I have another media roundup? Yeah, I watched this movie that was actually really good. While I'm looking for it, you can do your weapons media roundup.
Oh, yeah, I liked it. I thought it was good. I liked it about as much as Barbarian, which I also really liked. I was very surprised to hear Pierce Nicole say that it was like miles ahead of Barbarian. I thought they were pretty comparable and both pretty good.
Interesting. Did they not like Barbarian that much? Because I thought Barbarian was like delightful. It's one of those movies great, that yeah. I don't know if it's like I would call it incredible. It was just so fun. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Pierce, and I think this kind of diffused into Nicole, was very upset about the number of plot holes in Barbarian. That seemed to really ruin the movie for him.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah, that's not what...
That didn't really worry me when I watched it.
You see, the problem, though, is I'm kind of a hypocrite on it, because sometimes it does bother me, and sometimes it doesn't. I really have no barometer for why in some movies I'm like, oh, come on, why could that be happening? And then in some movies I'm like, I don't give a shit. Obviously, this is silly.
I mean, it's not presented realistically after the tone switch, and pre-tone switch, well, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, Weapons was interesting. It was,
Maybe you don't know everything, but was it just like... That it didn't really make sense how the person would be living underground that long without
that any person living underground. She sent a picture of the guy's ID and went missing, but none of her friends came looking for her. The guy was there to scope something out for his band, but no one ever came looking for him after he went missing. Yada yada. Stuff that doesn't really affect the movie, but it wasn't like why couldn't she just fly the ring into Mordor with the Hawks or whatever
with the Hawks?
Yeah. Did you figure out what movie you watched?
Oh, you didn't have anything else to say about what you liked about...
Weapons? I thought it was okay. I thought the ending was a little... Meh.
Okay, so you didn't like it as much as Barbarian.
I liked it as much as Barbarian.
Like.
I liked them evenly. But so I'll say what I said to Dora Lee, and hopefully this doesn't ruin anything, but I don't like a mystery in a movie that's unsolvable. There's no hints. There's no, if I rewatch this, I'll see things that I didn't notice. It's literally at the end, we tell you what it is, and you don't know what it is until then.
All right, Adrian, for my media roundup, a Japanese gangster flick from 1993, Sonatine. Well worth a watch. It's just really fun. A little bit maybe like, honestly, not too different. If you like things like Goodfellas, it's maybe a little bit like slower and a little bit weirder, but I think that's just like through being made in a different culture, but it pretty much hits all the notes of like a fun gangster flick while also just being really well shot, having great acting, these like interesting characters. It's a little bit more of like a, what would you call it, like a day in the life, like it's more about one.
It's a slice of life.
No, it's more a little bit in a weird way, but also it's a little bit more about like one job rather than like somebody's ascent and descent in the crime world. It's not like an epic like Goodfellas, but otherwise it's like very much in that lane of
has anyone ever used slice of life as a pun to talk about a movie with a murderer with a knife?
That's good though.
Don't steal that from me. That's for my Letterboxd when I get to rate a movie with that as a joke. Cool. I have nothing to report. I have been busy all week. I was finishing my dissertation. Although today I'm in an especially grateful mood because I was, as I've often done, reading my friend's dissertations for formatting and style suggestions.
Oh, to steal ideas. Interesting.
And I was in the acknowledgments for three of my friends. One of them, I was placed second in a group of two people as like listed as friend support. In one of them, I was listed at the end with Emily as like my people from my cohort. So putting the two Latinos at the end. And then the other one, I got my own special.
Oh, you're really going to do that thing where because there's one man in the group of you and Emily, you use Latino?
The two Latin folks at the end. And then the other one, I got my own little sentence.
Okay, so now you know who you're going to give acknowledgement to in yours.
Yeah, I guess.
This is like wedding invites. They give you one, you got to give them one.
That's true. I didn't ask to be included in theirs, and now they didn't ask to be included in mine, and I have to put them in there, though. What's that line for The Simpsons? They had to ask because it would be rude if they didn't, and we have to go because it'd be rude if we didn't.
Cool. Should we get into the theme?
Yeah, let's do it. All right. Which one do you want to talk about first, or do you want to talk about the general idea?
Yeah, I guess let's talk about the general idea.
Horse gals and snake guys. And yes. We decided to keep it animal themed to kind of keep it coherent, but you thought about car guys. There's also, what other kind of guys and gals are there, and what kind of NBs are there?
We said NBs would probably, if we had to come up with like a kind of stereotype group, it'd be turtle NBs or ferret NBs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I guess when you're a kid, you're like a train guy or like a dinosaur guy or a rock guy.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes those manifest into what you end up liking as an adult.
More specifically, it's like the animals people are interested in say so much about their personality. And I guess like some other things can say that much about your personality, but it's not like a... You have to be more specific. Like a car guy is not that specific a guy, but
You know, you can
like
predict
a muscle
a lot
car
about a
guy or like a classic.
Oh, you think there are car guys that are like Toyota Prius guys?
No, but there's like vintage car guys. I think a guy who does Model T's is a different type of guy than like a muscle car guy, who's a different type of guy than like a 70s Camaro guy. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
There's sub-genres. There's groups.
Okay, that's true. That's true.
Electric car guy, totally different than the rest.
That's true.
But a snake guy is just kind of a snake guy. That's like pretty specific. A horse girl is just kind of a horse girl.
Oh, that's offensive. There's so much variation in that community.
Oh, you think there's like Mustang gals, but then there's also geldings, like pony queens.
Yeah, there's pony queens, geldings, okay. Russian haired.
Dressage, dressers.
Yeah. You know, there's two types of people in this world. Horseback archery gals.
Oh, that does actually feel separate. That's the first one where I'm like, okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah, other types of what animal do you most identify with? You're a dog guy.
I don't know. I don't have like an animal where I'm like, that's my thing. I want a pet of it, or I want to always like see it or have it around. Do you have that?
My sister is a Kirby gal, and my mom's an elephant lady, which I think shows that she's distinguished, wise, and all about family. And my dad, I don't think, is the kind of person to express having a favorite animal.
Mm. Me and your dad are very similar men. But that's your family, not you, then?
Me? I don't really, an animal that I really identify with. No, not really, or that I want to have around.
Yeah, you had pet ferrets, which was, like, a really specific choice, but I never got the sense that you were like, I am a pet ferret person forever.
I'm allergic to cats and dogs. I had to pick an alternative.
Oh.
So I picked the snake cat. Now I probably am far enough along in living with cats while house sitting that I could consider getting a cat, and I would.
Okay, you'd consider getting one.
And that is that's a big...
Not rescuing, interesting.
What do you mean? Getting and rescuing can both be the same thing.
Really? Maybe if
it's incredibly tedious to have to only use that specific word to mean that.
Yeah, just if you meant it, maybe you would have said it. That's all I'm saying.
But yeah, I found good camaraderie with people over being cat people, and then I've also found good camaraderie of debating dog people in that kind of like jokey kind of way that people do when they don't actually care about those kind of things.
Yeah, but a dog, that's not similar. Like being a cat person or a dog person, not similar to like being a snake guy.
No, it's too ubiquitous.
Yeah. Are there any other animals with like coded ownership? I guess a chicken.
Lizard guy is pretty similar. Oh, chicken guy.
Yeah, yeah. Chicken is definitely like crunchy, a little bit like maybe spiritual.
Spiritual and lyrical.
Also, I guess it could be a little bit live off the grid. It could be a little bit like a
It's also pretty popular in Davis for just everybody to do.
Yeah.
If you have a backyard.
I don't know, but I think maybe that just speaks to how many people in Davis are kind of crunchy and a little spiritual. Yeah,
that is true. That is true. I remember my friend Allison, who studies chickens, once sent me an article about how tech bros were all into chickens for a while in Silicon Valley as pets, and then they were moving into the new big pet, honeybees. And she was like, shit, they're moving from me to you.
I mean, I do feel like I remember those phases, and it really is like maybe it appeals to tech bros because it feels like a... animal of like
keeps you working class.
Oh, I didn't think of it like that. I thought it's because they have like an output, like it's a hobby where you can feel like I get the honey or I get the eggs out of it.
Like, it's like a min-maxed thing.
Yeah, yeah. Like there's a very tangible benefit rather than
an emotional benefit. Right, as opposed to a stupid dog where you just get love and affection.
Yeah. But also, if you are trying to own an animal as a hobby, owning a dog is like, you got to take it on walks and feed it. But like owning chickens, it's like, oh, I gotta fix up the coop this week. I gotta, you have to buy the, I guess you could buy all that stuff pre-made, especially if you're like a tech guy. But I assume a lot of them were like buying the saws and the lumber themselves and the like chicken wire and setting it all up as part of like the, let me do something with my time other than be on a computer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What about bird people?
I don't know if it says anything about them. What it says about their house is stinky.
Stinky, really? Even just a little parakeet?
I don't know. Every birdhouse I've ever been in, I don't like the smell. Maybe it's one of those things where I have a special chemical receptor other people don't, but I'm always
off. Are you just thinking of the one friend you had with 50 finches?
Yes. Well, also, I'm not going to lie to you. I think your bird put me off, too, in your house.
No, that was a big-ass bird.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think it was smelly, but it was a big bird to try and keep in a regular house that's not very big.
Well, maybe your house was smelly then, Adrian. I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know. Dorley lived in there.
Don't end her career like that.
She did just reject the house for being too, they had a cat in there, and she was like, it smells too much like cat in there. They don't clean.
No, I did have other friends with birds, and I do think what I was smelling was your bird. I think I was attuned enough to that. I just did not specifically like that smell.
Mm. Well, what was that? What was that deal about people's houses having very specific scents when you were a kid? Why does it feel like that isn't a thing as an adult?
Oh, yeah. That is true. I was really attuned to it. I would go to a new friend's house and immediately clock a really specific smell.
You'd have to get used to it. Eventually, you'd get used to it and go nose blind. But that first time you went to someone's house, I feel like I don't really get that as an adult. I think I go to someone's house and I'm just like, oh, it's a house.
Not unless they own a dog that has fur instead of hair. Whatever ones leave all the really stringy hair around.
Yeah.
I think that is a distinction. I don't know. Somebody's told me about it before.
Not all dogs have fur. Some are just hair.
Yeah. I wish I could speak about it more authoritatively.
Some of them are just eyelashes all over.
I think it's something about like if it's like long and curly versus if it's just kind of like human hair and one is like a different smell or like, yeah.
In English, scientist.
I think the ones with hair are hypoallergenic.
Because they don't produce as much dander because they don't have fur. Okay. I believe it.
Okay, we haven't talked about the core concept at all.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. What do you want to say?
Horse girls. Did you know any?
Yeah, I knew notably there were a few where in elementary school and middle school, they always had all the folders with horses on them. I think it was funny because there was kind of a split. There was ladies that I knew, and sorry, it is gendered. I don't know if I knew any horse guys. I'm sorry. I apologize. My school's not that diverse. There were a few that came from rich families that
looked... Sorry. What am I right now? A horse guy?
Hey, come on now. There were a few that were rich and lived out in the country and actually had horses, and then there were some that seemed to be aspirational horse girls, where they lived in the suburbs, obviously didn't have a horse, but still like had dreams of one day being able to ride a horse.
I feel you. That's true. I remember one horse girl specifically who I liked. I thought she was cool, but her thing was in elementary school just being really good at drawing them. And I remember her showing us all how to draw them once. And I think it was like, you know, when you learn as a child, like the exact lines to use to draw something.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was like, you know, like those TV commercials on Adult Swim where it's like, oh, you want to draw a thing? You start with a circle, erase this part, put a triangle, and now you got it.
Yeah, kind of like that. And like she showed us a couple different things that I think for a year I could draw a pretty good horse at elementary school. And I'd forgotten that method. But
now you only draw when it gets sketchy.
Yeah, but what is it? Like, I think the stereotype is that they're just weird, and I think they were, but they always...
It's correlated. There's syndrome.
Yeah, I don't think I ever had as much of, like, a... I don't know. I think the thing is supposed to be that they're, like, bullyable or they annoy you. I don't think they ever annoyed me or felt particularly, like...
I don't think they were particularly downtrodden. I don't think they were made fun of. I just think they were kind of considered weird. I guess
I was weird, so it's just like the distinction really didn't carry to me. I remember just clocking that they liked horses. I wasn't like too concerned with like, oh, that makes them different or weird.
They're going to shoot up the school because they love horses so much. Yeah, I agree with that. I don't know. I only interacted with horses like twice as a kid. Do you remember that big horse farm like right by the high school? huge mansion with the huge front yard. I think I horse rode there as part of
the trees every 20 feet as if it was an old estate.
Yeah, I went to a party once that was there where we rode horses as a kid, and I remember not super enjoying it. I think my hymen broke.
I was clearly in the wrong class. I didn't get invited to that party. Should have been in Miss B's Beavers. And then I don't think it was till like later in life, till middle or high school, that I started clocking the energy of being a snake guy.
Sort of. Sometimes snake guys we met not as peers, but as like, oh, let's have something fun in the classroom today. Oh. We know a guy who owns a snake who can bring him to class. So you definitely knew there were older people who had snakes, and that was kind of their thing.
That's so true. I guess these aren't snake guys. These are experienced zoologists, but also
sometimes it really was just a dude who had a snake.
No. The ones that came to the class definitely were just dudes with a snake. What I was talking about is when you would go to riverbanks, and an actual like a zookeeper with a snake that they would let you touch, or one kid would get to hold it asked up to the front or whatever.
I've definitely been a part of a long train of people holding a snake before at a museum or whatever.
You still have that picture?
No, that was a long time ago. Oh, yeah, actually on Bumble, my main picture for a long time was me with a snake around my neck.
Good idea. You know what that implies?
That I'm tolerant to venom?
I was thinking like it was like a phallic sort of symbol.
It wasn't a python. No, it was just a particularly good picture of me. I always liked that one.
Snake eyes. They're the type of guy, if there was one other thing that they were likely to have, it would be a ring with a skull on it.
Ooh, or a chain wallet.
Or a chain wallet. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or a really musty girlfriend.
With half of her head shaved for some reason, with a Skrillex haircut.
Yeah. Cool look.
It's one of those things that pet stores will not sell rats to people sometimes because they'll think that the person is taking them to feed to their snake.
That need live mice?
Apparently that's not a thing. No snake needs live mice.
Yeah, my roommate only got frozen mice. The picture that I had on my Bumble was from when we went to the Sacramento Reptile Convention for him to go buy mice in bulk.
Yeah, because obviously a live mouse Pinkies, can the little smallest hurt ones. The snake, so it's like kind of considered cruel to some capacity to both animals to feed them to snakes.
Yeah, his snake was a ball python that specifically had like a nasal issue because it tried to strike a mouse once that was in its cage and like hit the glass or something. So like he was really he was very particular about how he fed it.
But yeah, apparently that's enough snake guys. It's like they want to feed their snakes live mice, despite that being a bad idea that pet stores have to be weird about it.
You're not one of those guys where if you had a dog, you'd give it like raw chicken or like a whole rotisserie chicken or whatever. Not rotisserie. Who was it? There was a really buff gay dude that I knew in grad school who his whole thing when he got a new puppy is he was buying entire chicken carcasses like every other day to feed to his dog because he wanted his dog to have real food.
Ew. No, I don't think I'd be that type of guy.
Okay. It really does speak to like the excesses of, I don't know how I made 10% of the money that I do now back in undergrad. And yet in undergrad, I had enough disposable cash to be like, I'm going to buy the fancy food for my ferrets. Only the best.
that's like Blue Diamond or whatever. They have a version
It was called Wysong. And that was like what everyone on the ferret forums were like. That's the highest protein, actually good food for them if you want your ferrets to be healthy.
What was grocery store food you could feed them? What was like on the forums? What were people like, oh, you can buy this and chop it up tiny and it's a protein?
You can buy like chicken breast tenders and like raw and chop them up. They're fine with raw meat. They're fine with raw meat.
Oh, that's kind of scary though. I don't want them to have a taste of meat. I don't want
them
to know.
You think they're going to see a chicken breast tender and be like, that kind of looks like Paul's dick. I want to chop it at.
I don't know if I've ever said this on the podcast, but I hated sleeping at your place when you had ferrets. I was so worried I was going to feel them crawling on me at night.
Yeah, we did a whole ferret segment once in like a pet episode, yeah. Did I leave them out? They had a cage they slept in.
You left them
maybe
out
we've
once.
Had this exact conversation. Man, maybe I need them back in my life. They were such a nice little balls of energy.
Anything else about snake guys other than they're kind of known for being like odd, maybe a little bit like, well, not a druggy isn't the right word, but like they're alternative, a little bit edgy.
They really like that song Headstrong by Trapped. Yeah, I think there was an early episode of the pod where we were talking about the presidential election, and we were like, we're definitely getting a snake guy before we get a woman for president. Like, we're going to get so many different types of dudes as president before we get a woman. And that's my only comment. That made me laugh.
Yeah, almost certainly.
All right, horse girl's on me. So, this is from Slate by Allison Price. I don't think I'm beating the record of most recent article that we've done on Pod, but this is from 3 days ago. And it's also kind of a sentimental one because it's Allison Price's last time as the Karen Feeding author. So I'll read that part as well as the actual question. Here we go. Dear Slate readers, today marks my last Karen Feeding column. Nearly 3.5 years ago, I dared to get back into journalism and join the team. My goals were straightforward: sharpen my pen, practice receiving critique and criticism, share some useful insights, and learn more about the kind of parent I wanted to be. That last goal, learning about this kind of parent I wanted to be, is why this is my final column. Since I have a full-time job outside of Slate, I write my column after work, post-bedtime, a few weeknights each week. This worked well when my kids were younger, but a few months ago, my son asked me if we had time to read another chapter in our book, and I said, no, I have to go downstairs and write. I realized I'd been saying this phrase too often for my taste. It's rather an ironic feeling to walk away from parenting in order to write about parenting, especially when my instincts were telling me to stay in that room, read one more chapter, and have another snuggle. Joining Slate was a gutsy thing to do, and if I could sing from the hilltops about the virtue of doing something you're scared of, I would change my name to Maria von Trapp and march myself to the Alps. But now it's time for me to do the quiet thing. Rather than running after hashtag girlboss cred, I'm getting cozy with my kids and soaking in the precious years before they're the ones leaving me for their own bold adventures. As a mom of a 10 and 6-year-old, I'm in the glory days when it comes to family time, and I don't want to spend it at my computer. It's been a privilege to show up in your feeds every Monday. May your babies be sound sleepers, your toddlers be good eaters, and your family therapy be covered by insurance. Allison Price. Without further ado, here's the question.
Damn, goodbye, AP.
My partner and I are expecting a baby girl early next year. I've been thinking a lot about how to give her the best life possible. In doing so, I keep coming back to my boss's daughter, who I've met on multiple occasions and heard even more about. She's just about to start her senior year in high school, and she is the best teenager I've ever met. I'm talking smart, happy, socially skilled, good mental health, physically fit, not addicted to her phone, and has friends she hangs out with in person. She has every quality I would want for my kid, but those that I fear the modern world will take an uphill battle to instill. What seems to have worked for her is horses. My boss's wife is a lifelong horse girl and started their daughter on her first pony at 3 years old. The time they spend training together and traveling to shows seems to have cemented the kind of mother-daughter relationship that seems almost mythical. My partner and I, however, can't afford anything like that. What are some cheaper alternatives for absorbing activities that can ground a kid in the real world, keep them healthy, and give them a sense of accomplishment and confidence? Nothing I can think of has the power of horses to pull young girls, in particular, away from more harmful influences. Any ideas? From No Ponies, But Is There a Unicorn?
Yeah, the important thing is that you decide this now and force that interest onto them.
That's good advice.
Yeah, yeah. You wouldn't want them to develop their own interests and ideas. You have to decide their life path from, are they already born or is she pregnant? Yeah. While you're still pregnant, while you're still expecting, it's important to decide what their favorite hobby at 18 is going to be.
That's what the horse girl mom did.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And it worked out great.
I mean, maybe she did, or maybe the mom loved horses and that naturally interested the daughter.
You're telling me you're not going to force your daughter to be a fencing daughter?
No.
Wow. She's not going to learn the way of the blade in a way that would keep Izzy and her
you're
together.
You're telling me you're not going to force your daughter to be a bee daughter?
I am, yeah.
You're going to be having organic honey every summer.
She's going to be the bee in apartment 23, I'll tell you that.
Come on now. I haven't seen that show.
I haven't either. Okay, so you're taking umbrage with the premise.
Yeah, I mean, what are the other types of hobbies like this? I guess chess is a little bit more accessible, but I guess by like age 8 or 9, you're going to need to find them a chess coach if that's going to be like their thing.
Yeah.
I guess it's by accessibility. Like, I mean, I think Isabel got really into fencing because there was a really good fencing school near her. I don't think if she was in a random city that didn't happen to have like a world-class fencing school, that was going to happen.
Yeah. And what was world class in Lexington?
Become a pit master? Learn from Sheely himself?
Oh, Mr. Sheely. That would have been cool. That would have been cool to be a young pit master.
He's the finest barbecuer we've ever seen under the age of 14.
Dude, if I could learn how to make those fried gizzards, are you kidding me? But it's not only about, like, did fencing keep Izzy grounded and structured and not addicted to her phone and mentally healthy and sociable? Fencing doesn't seem like a sociable. I guess she has friends from it, yeah.
Yeah, it's sociable. You have teammates. You have people at the same fencing school as you. You're, like, she was part of the national team, so that type of stuff.
And what hobbies kept you grounded and off your phone as a kid?
Brother, I have something to tell you which may be shocking. I was on my phone a lot. Actually, I guess back then, my laptop.
Wow.
Smartphones weren't a thing yet. I didn't have one until college.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they were a thing. They weren't a thing for me.
What would you do for your child then?
I don't know. Do you have any ideas?
I think sports seems like an obvious one. I don't know why sports is different than horses in a way that's meaningful, but...
Because it's the parent doesn't have as much of like a one-on-one relationship. Like when you think
Yeah, if you'd be a tiger mom.
I guess the parent has to ask themselves what they care about. If you want it to be something you bond over, it has to be something you cared about. Like, it can't be generic advice from us, right?
You can learn to love things that your kids love. That's actually maybe something a lot of parents do.
True.
Like Mark's dad, who got really into Linkin Park for his son.
True. I wonder if that's going to have as much of
a
lasting...
Or my dad, who got really into bell hooks for me.
I think it's, like, less sustainable, right? Like... I think a lot of parents who don't necessarily love the thing themselves end up becoming just like a ride to the tournament versus being like as firmly a part of it as a parent who does love the sport themselves. The parent that does love the sport isn't just on their phone while the kid's playing. They're like giving them tips. They're watching. They're kind of engaged almost as like a personal coach in a way versus if you're just their ride and then you're handing them off to a coach. You're just a parent.
Well, you could. There were parents at soccer games who were very intense. There was that one dude who always like got really loud, excited, and would do push-ups because of how much energy he had while yelling at his kid.
That rocks.
Wouldn't like camping or like isn't Boy Scouts like the best thing for teaching your kid about liking old styles of living? Cotillion?
I didn't do cotillion. I didn't know there was a parent element. Is there?
I don't know. I think that is something. I think you can't be the cotillion coach. I think that is something you have to. Just send your kids to. Is there anything where, I've always said that I think even though I don't want to be a parent, I would at least be good at being a parent in the sense of accepting my child in basically every way, unless they became like a weird conservative asshole or something like that. Is there anything where like you'd be a little bit disappointed if your kid got into football and you had to like do football forever?
Oh, not that, but I am trying to think like, what would I be like? Oh, that's a little corny. That's a little
musical
lame.
Theater, white rapping.
I guess if they were, like, a brony, that would be, like, if I had to take them to, like, a brony convention or whatever the future version of being a brony is, I think that would be a little off-putting. I would struggle to get there where I was like, okay, this is just your interest. I'd be a little bit like, is this good? Should you be into something else, maybe?
Interesting, yeah. Yeah, I made the joke about my dad getting into bell hooks with me, but he definitely got into anime with me. He was super big on that. And he, like, showed me Astro Boy and stuff like that, yeah. All right, is there anything else we need to say to answer this question? We didn't really think of any kooky hobbies that the kid could try and get into. Sewing. What is it? Was it cottagecore? I don't think it's in anymore, but being a cottagecore kid, specifically anti-internet. For a lifestyle that has a whole internet thing around it, they would still be on TikTok watching the cottagecore stuff.
I think
stuff.
You're really adding too much importance to the no phone thing. I think the no phone thing just comes
I think
with
that
being
seems
more
like
engaged.
What, that seems like what this guy is saying. It seems pretty big to him that it's like... Okay, she's smart, happy, socially skilled, has physical friends, is not addicted to her phone.
Oh, the physical friends thing is kind of saying, I'm worried that they're going to be an internet kid.
Yeah, I think that is a big part of it. Is he saying it's particular to the age that we live in?
Interesting. I thought this was the mom asking just because they were kind of jealous of the other mom. So I was like, oh, it must be the mom. Because
oh, yeah, maybe you're right.
Speaking jealously of the mom-daughter
that does make it less creepy the way that she talks about her.
Yeah, I mean, the honest advice is I think you got to wait to see what your kid's interested in. If you don't already have a super specific hobby yourself that they're naturally going to take an interest in, then follow their lead. Like, why is this your job?
I mean, I've said it before. Number one career that kids want these days, YouTuber.
But that wouldn't give them IRL friends or keep them off their phone.
That's what I'm saying. If you leave them to their own devices and social pressures.
Well, then you explain to them that to have a successful YouTube career... What you need to do is have something for your channel to be about. Your YouTube channel can't
Pete Holmes.
Be about being a YouTuber. Yeah, you have to have thing you already care about.
You have to live a life worth living in order to talk about it online.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Okay, Pete Holmes. Okay, my man.
You know, I don't think Pete Holmes came up with that idea, but okay, let's give that one to him.
I'm giving it to you.
Also, have you heard about this religion thing? Pete Holmes has been talking about it a lot. It's kind of a big deal.
You want to hear the answer?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Dear Unicorn, I love that you have a vision for the kind of grounded, wholesome childhood you would want to give your daughter. But please hear me when I say that the most important lesson you can learn as a parent is how to let your kid know who they are and then support them. It's not about you picking the right hobby for your kid that'll keep them out of harm's way, but making them feel safe and seen. Reread your letter. Horses didn't make your boss's daughter a great kid. This did. They spend time together. Seems to have cemented the kind of mother-daughter relationship that seems almost mythical. The most important factor in how your child will relate to the world is you. If you want to learn how to be an observant, present parent, here are a few books and essays I would recommend. The Danish Way of Parenting by Jessica Joel Alexander and Ibn Dissing Sandal. Children Are Not Empty Vessels, The Unspoken Power of John Dewey's CDP Theory in Today's Parenting, posted on Medium. Another key to raising self-aware, joyful, and resilient children is giving them appropriate levels of independence as they grow. Frequent readers know I recommend these books a lot, but they make a compelling case. How to Raise an Adult by Julie Lithcott-Himes. The Anxious Generation by Jonathan Haidt. Last but not least, one of the best gifts you can give your child is time spent outdoors in nature, which has been shown to improve children's mental, physical, and emotional health. As an environmental educator, I could wax poetic about this topic, but here are some folks who'll do it better. The Sense of Wonder by Rachel Carson. Last Child in the Woods by Richard Loewe. Balanced and Barefoot by Angela Hanscom. Sharing Nature by Joseph Cornell. The introductory chapters, most of the book, focuses on outdoor education activities. I hope some of these resources help you imagine the kind of parent you want to be for your daughter, and I hope they make you feel excited, inspired, and humbled about seeing the world through her eyes. They did for me. Because at the end of the day, when it comes to hobbies and interests, your daughter might find her thing that she loves early in life, or she might not. She might develop one or two passions or pastimes, or she might dabble in a little bit of everything. None of these outcomes is better or worse than the other. Unfortunately, no single hobby can magically give your daughter the boundless future you dream for her. So unbuckle the seatbelt, step out of the car, and walk around to the other side, because you are no longer in the driver's seat. You are the passenger. You can offer route suggestions, give her driving tips, and watch out for the potholes. But she's the one who should be behind the wheel, deciding where she goes. Enjoy the ride. I like that. It's a good metaphor. I don't believe in newborn babies driving a car.
Woke's gone mad again, eh?
It's gone mad, bruv, isn't it? Yeah, that's a good answer. I mean, a lot of book recommendations, but...
Yeah, it really did seem to lean heavy on read a ton of books.
Read theory. Okay, alright.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty good answer.
I'm not mad at it. Good last answer from her.
Well, there's like three more after this in this article.
Yeah, but chronologically, this is the last one that was written.
Did she mention that? That's crazy.
Yeah, she told me. She emailed me.
Oh.
She was like, by the way, I just want to let you know on the pod. If Paul says something snarky about there being three other answers, I wrote that one last.
Prescient.
Mm-hmm. And Pete Holmes emailed me. He was like, if Paul says something snarky about him not inventing the idea of living a life worth living to talk about on stage, tell him that I did.
Can you tell Pete I love his I we won one won bit?
That's my automatic email reply. Yeah, he already got that.
Okay.
Adrian would be out of office all the way. By the way, Paul really likes the we won one bit from Pete Holmes. All right. I'm going to take a quick break for a second, and then we'll get into yours.
Yeah, let's do it. All right, Adrian, I have an article we've never done before, which is the Daily Records advice column. This one's by Joanne Burney from 2012.
It's from the boys from Liverpool.
Is that where the Daily Record is from?
It's definitely from the UK. It's not UK.
Be careful going to this website. I've never seen more ads pop up on my screen ever.
I think there's some websites you go to with more ads.
This is from February 6, 2008, Joanne Burney. Question. My boyfriend has a pet snake. He keeps it in a tank in his bedroom, but I am still very frightened of it. He also wants me to touch it and says it is harmless. I really like him, but the snake is affecting our sex life, as I can't relax with it in the room. But his mom won't let him put it anywhere else in the house.
That's it?
That's it.
She does know that snakes don't have arms and can't get themselves out of tanks, right?
I don't know. She's English. What do I know about what she does or doesn't know? What do they teach him out there?
Well, I sort of get it. I've told the story before about how I had spiders in my room for an experiment in high school. And the first night that I slept with them in my room, I was having dreams of them getting out and crawling all over me. But I don't know. The snake, if you can just prove that they're not going to be able to get out of the tank, I don't know. I don't have that kind of phobia for any animal that, like, it's going to, like, put me off that it's just in the general room with me. Also, it should be, like, I mean, is this dude not a dude that rocks? Why is him not getting poon enough of a motivator for him to figure the situation out?
Yeah, it's interesting because I feel like this person asking the question's an adult because they describe it as our sex life. And I feel like teens don't say that, but he does live with his mom.
He didn't say that?
Oh, yeah. You used to talk about your sex life in high school.
Yeah, he used to be like, we're going to a therapy right now because our sex life isn't exactly where we want it to be. And I think it's a British person because they said mum. And only British people say mum.
Well, we know it's a British person. Who else is writing into the Daily Record?
I've written some questions into them.
Oh, really?
Mostly in secret, yeah. I didn't want stuff that other people see, yeah.
Oh, you're like, nobody reads the Daily Record.
No, there's too many ads.
Oh. This really is one of the worst websites I've ever been on.
It really is quite terrible. What made you pick this question?
It was about a snake guy.
Well, yes, it does hit the theme pretty hard.
Yeah.
All right, what are your thoughts on it? Have you ever had this issue with a hookup or someone you were dating?
Oh, you know, I'm trying to remember. I feel like
Izzy used to have two huge swords over her headboard that felt like they're about to fall down at any moment.
That would be a funny problem.
Yeah.
I mean, I relate to this not being able to sleep in a room with an animal in it. Even cats kind of get me.
Wait, is she saying sleep in the room or have a sex in the room? He wants me to touch it and says it's harmless. Hey, yo.
I know. I thought that was funny, too. A lot of it does read as if it's like a body pun or a body joke.
Yeah. Liking the snake and being able to tolerate it so that you can get your bang on is probably different. I'll address the second one first. Put a blanket over it when you guys are having sex. Do you ever hear about people talk about feeling weird about their dog walking in on them masturbating or having sex?
Yeah, I've never had a pet, but I don't. That doesn't shock me. I feel like
it would feel weird.
Yeah,
I would definitely close the door. Although I know a lot of people where their animals have that much separation anxiety that you can't close the door on them or they'll get mad. But I also wouldn't want to fuck in front of a cat.
Yeah, I guess I've just never had the problem, so I can't really speak on it. But I get why it's a weird vibe.
Yeah, right. I'm not a fan.
Even animals that aren't bothering me, it's like their presence feels a lot more like it's another person in the room, right?
If there's a lizard under a rock, you're freaking out while you're getting your
didn't say I'm down. Freaking out. Okay, if there was a lizard in the room, I couldn't chill.
Why does it feel like you're coming at me all of a sudden? You just really were just like, okay, bro.
I guess she's just worried it could get out. This guy sounds a little dumb because she's like, I'm kind of scared of it. He's like, touch it. Maybe she's like, okay, he did not lock down this enclosure.
I don't buy that. I think there are plenty of people who have unconventional pets who are like, hey, they're not scaly or slimy like people always say. I've touched so many snakes. Dude, they're soft. They're so nice feeling when you actually touch them. They're so...
That's gross, dude.
What do you
mean?
People are so
right now.
People are so wrong in their perception. I'm not even a snake dick writer, but people are so wrong in their perception of what they think snakes are. And like, I think actually, yeah, being like, hey, touch it, just give it a pet and you'll be fine is actually pretty good advice.
Nah, they're gross.
Give it a stroke.
They're
until
gross.
Completion.
Why are you now part of this whole like body?
Because that was the ethos of the question.
Just lick the tip.
You never touched
babe.
A snake?
No.
Really?
No, I've touched a snake.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Like when they brought him around.
What are you, a gay snake?
Stuff. Get rid of the scrub. Get a man who doesn't live with his mum.
Oh, that's very common in the UK.
I would get not being able to sleep in the room to some extent. The sex thing is a little weird. You're fully awake. Like you could just look back every 20 seconds and make sure it hasn't moved or something.
Well, that's a lot of distraction. Also, the sex life that they do is a lot of like pushing everything off of a table and then fucking on it. And
okay.
As soon as they go to the dresser.
Yeah. They're pushing that snake enclosure right off the dresser and it's crashing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's not only a lot of broken glass, but then also a snake roaming around. Do you ever get lost in the discourse of, like, I think some people say that, like, snakes aren't ever your friend because if they could eat you, they would. And some people will debate the fact that, like, whether or not your dog would eat you after you die or something, as if that's, like, really a core tenet to whether or not they're good pets or not. Mm. I've never understood this, but I feel like I've seen people do this debate before.
I get it. I get that some animals caring for you is a little different than an animal that clearly has no emotional, like, reciprocity and is just around.
It's a job. I don't know. I think that's how dogs think about it. They're like, I got to do this to get food.
I don't think that's how dogs think about it. I think they have like a I think it's a lot more innate.
I think they would eat you for sure when you die.
Oh, I think there's some dogs that definitely wouldn't. I guess some.
Some that wouldn't. Yeah, there's individual variation. There's also snakes that wouldn't eat you.
I don't know if I follow. I think the thing about the snake is if it didn't eat you, it wouldn't be for the reason that it felt sentimental. I think with a dog, it would be because of that.
Yeah, the snake would be like, ba 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 da da ba ba ba.
It's been a long...
It's been a long day without you, my friend, JFK. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again.
In my stomach, because I'm going to eat you.
Because I'm going to eat you.
She should get him to get rid of the snake by telling him it's haunted by a ghost.
The snake is haunted by a ghost?
The snake is possessed by a ghost.
Oh, okay. I think she should give him an old tomato.
An old tomato?
Yeah, it's either me or the snake.
A classic old tomato.
Yeah, because someone gives it to you and you have to decide whether or not you want to eat it or not.
Obviously, I want to eat the old tomato.
Yeah, they're giving you an old tomato. No, clearly I was doing the joke from Will and Grace about ultimatums, but yes, you should give him an ultimatum of either you or the snake. I feel like making a snake unhoused, I don't know if that's a really morally gray decision, but, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, what do you do to a snake? Is there snake sanctuaries, or it's just like...
It depends on what kind of snake it is, if it's native or non-native, how big it is, how developed it is.
Oh, can you release a native snake? Is that fine? Or is it like one of those things releasing other native animals where it's like, oh, no, it's not okay because they'll just die right away anyway without...
That's on them.
Oh, that's on them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like a snake that grew up in captivity, no way it's hunting for itself its first time, like halfway through its life. Like, that thing's just gonna die.
Maybe if you had fed it live prey. Maybe if you had done what the cool jazz guys were trying to do.
I don't think you're supposed to feed them live prey. Although, that's also, like, such a small subset of snakes, right? I wonder if what do you feed smaller snakes? What's snake food for, like, a tiny thing? Crickets? Frozen crickets?
I think all snakes. Well, yeah, maybe you're right. I don't know. Yeah. I know that's what we used to give the leopard gecko that my neighbors used to have. That was a fun pet where sometimes if we took him out to play with him, we would just lose him for days on end.
Are you sure you were finding like a different snake?
Well, it was a leopard gecko, but also, yeah, I mean, it would be in the house and then like we'd lose him and he would be like, oh shit, we gotta go find Frasier at some point.
Oh man, I would have hated being in that house. I'd constantly be like, am I about to step on a leopard gecko and ruin my night?
That's what you're worried about is killing him? That's sweet.
Yeah.
You'd break his neck?
You wouldn't worry about that? You wouldn't worry with a tiny animal loose in a house that you might, like, sit on it or step on it?
No, I don't think that was ever my worry as a kid. I think my worry is just about, like, when he needs food. He needs water. When are we going to get Frasier back?
Oh, well, he'll come back when he needs food or water.
Oh, yeah, okay. He always did. All right, well, I think I'm out of advice. I don't know what else to tell this person. I would just either go to your place or get over it.
All right, let's see what the experts have to say. I don't know what kind of snake it is, but I doubt it's venomous.
That's a good point. We should have said that up front.
I have never understood the attraction of reptiles as pets, but I think you can maybe accept it on two conditions. You never have to touch the thing, and he agrees to cover the tank when you are staying over.
It's almost certainly covered.
I think she means, like, cover it, like, so you can't even see in it, so it's not gross.
That's literally the whole answer. All right, real heater from Paul this week. Anything else about that? Anything about that answer?
I wonder if that's considered cruel, right? Like, do they... I guess probably not. Like, that just
for
seems
some
like
animals,
nighttime
you do that as part of your nighttime procedure, yeah.
Yeah.
But then you're messing up its circadian rhythm.
Not the snake, circadian rhythm.
Yeah.
What you think these people are nasty? They're getting into it in the day? It doesn't matter. It's already
when his
nighttime.
Mom's at work? Yeah, that's the more respectful time to do it.
Oh, good point.
You think they're doing it while she's watching Channel 4?
Why aren't they working?
Well, they live with their parents. They're, you know, they work an odd job here and there just to get by, but they're not really working full time like that, Gumna.
He went too old timey.
You know, his besides the snake, even then, his room's at all sixes and sevens over here.
What?
You never heard that phrase? It means things are a mess.
Oh, no, I haven't.
All right, are we ready for a third segment?
Yeah, let's do it. All right, Adrian, we're doing something we've done before. In our quest to discover the perfect type of animal person, we're going to play another round of the Wikipedia game.
Yes, sir.
So we're going to pick a random animal.
A randomal.
And then we're going to pick, I guess, should we do famous person or occupation?
Because you would be a snake carpenter?
Yeah, a type of person.
Oh, in the way that, like, in Pokemon, there's, like, certain trainers that have certain jobs and so have certain Pokemon?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Okay, cool.
I'll be a Gengar Goth.
All right, we have 260 animals, if you want to give me a random number between 1 and 260.
65.
The rose-ringed parakeet.
Rose-ringed parakeet, okay. Is this you or me?
Oh, we're both going.
Oh, right, we were competing, I forgot, okay. So, rose-ringed parakeet.
Yeah, you can find the Wikipedia page for that. I can send it to you if you need.
I'm on it. I already got it.
And Indeed didn't pull up, so maybe I'm going to have to find a different list of most common jobs.
Why don't we just pick a job before the animal?
What do you mean, before the animal?
Like, we just agree on, okay, let's do carpenter for this one and then pick the animal.
Oh, okay. What job do you want to do?
Well, now I know that I have the rose ring parakeet, so I'm going to go with bird keeper. But no. We can do, let's do a police officer.
Okay. Rose ring parakeet to police officer. All right. So does everybody know how the Wikipedia game works? We start on one Wikipedia page, and me and Adrian have to play through clicks to see if we can get to the other Wikipedia page. So we're getting to police officer from rose ring parakeet. I think I already know where I'm going to go. I already see International Union for Conservation of Nature. And that's what I want to click on.
Okay. I am going to go with the obvious one of ancient Greeks.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's a lot here.
Okay. I'm going to pick the inside of my article for International Union for the Conservation of Nature. I see a link to the United Nations General Assembly.
Okay.
I think that makes sense to me.
I'm going to go for slaves from ancient Greece.
And to be clear, one of the rules I think I learned from the last time we did this is not search. Control effing. Yeah,
can't do that.
I think I'm going to go from United Nations General Assembly. I'm going to go to International Court of Justice.
Oh, that's a good one. You love those guys. I'm going to go to... Oh, I thought I had it. God damn it. Let's see. Maybe I need to get a little bit more modern. I'm going to go for... Ooh, there's a code of legal law that I could click on. But I think I saw something earlier that I want to do. Piracy. I'm going to go with piracy. And I definitely need to go to modern piracy. Let's see.
Okay, there's a law applied section.
I could go to international talk like a pirate day.
I mean, there's actually nothing that's super obvious on this page, but...
I have mine locked and loaded, although I could maybe look for a better one.
Okay, so I will click on ex equio et bono, which is a legal theory that means out of equality and for the good.
Oh. Well, shit, now I want to do a funny one where it's just like jus cogens, which is some... What is this? Fundamental principle of international law that is accepted by the international community that states a norm of non-derogation? I'm going to do racketeering, though, as my actual choice. I think that'll get me to police. Where's racketeering? Where was that? Ooh, or Major League Baseball.
Okay, from here, I'm pretty confident that I'm going to go to Roman law.
Oh, you're taken back all the way to... Okay, I could have done Roman law instead of... Let's see, should I do organized crime or should... Oh, RICO Act. You want to read about the RICO Act?
This is actually what I think my best options are. I'm not doing a joke here.
State courts, murder, kidnapping, gambling, arson, robbery, bribery, commerce, some code of laws, protection, patronage. I think organized crime is going to get me there. Yeah.
Damn, but why does Roman law not have police officers as an important part? This is all about the law. Okay, I'm going to click on civil procedures.
Okay, and I definitely had police something up here, and I can't find police officer. Wait, hold up. Department of Justice. Oh, police forces. I'm going to go to police forces. How much closer do I have to get? Let's see, hold on. German State Police.
Okay, I'm going to click on private prosecution.
So I have to get to police officer as a job?
Yeah.
Law enforcement agency, sheriff's troop, police officers. Boom. Got it. Police officer.
Okay. I think I had this as an option a while ago and I didn't click on it, but then I'll go prosecutor from here.
Ooh,
I didn't think that was going to get me closer, but let's try that. So now
let me learn
one,
about police.
I'm plus one on here.
Hey, police comes from the Greek. Oh, I guess the etymology doesn't mean that the Greeks had police in the same way that we did. Never mind.
Man, I think I might have gotten myself into like a weird legal section that's like a lot of stuff that's close, but
Mm-hmm. No cigar.
No cigar. Okay, I fold. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get there in any sort of reasonable time.
All right. What do you want to do for the next one?
Oh, okay. Do you want to replay your winning hand by going backwards through your list?
So from police officer, I got there from police, which I got to from organized crime, which I got to from racketeering, which I got to from piracy, which I got to from slavery in ancient Greece, which I got to from ancient Greece, which I got to from rose ring to parakeet. 23. Wow, another low number.
Okay.
Also, where's your list of animals from?
Wikipedia. I guess domestic Bactrian camel.
Okay. Oh, these things are crazy.
Yeah, they look like a mix of like, am I thinking alpaca or llama? One of those and a camel.
Yeah.
Okay, so we need to get to janitor. I'll let you go first.
So to Jan Etor from Bactrian camel. Domesticated bacteria, bacteria, pack animals. Oh, janitors are pack animals. Ancient Greece. Ancient Greece had custodians. Let's see. In zoos, they get cleaned up.
The Silk Road. People had to clean up after themselves while trading on the Silk Road.
Precocial. Let's see. Evolutionary advantages. Okay, hold up, hold up, hold up, hold up. Climate adaptation, sexual maturity, semen, okay, heat capacity, walking, trotting, Gobi Desert.
This seems really hard. I can't even think of a direction to go.
I think what I know I'm going to do, I'm going to go with semen.
Spermatozoa? Is that what you're talking about? Because I saw that, but is semen no, also highlighted?
Literally just semen, yeah.
I'm going to go Ringling Brothers for Ooh. One United States Camel Corpse camel was later sold to the Ringling Brothers.
I'm going to go with World Health Organization from here.
Mm. Damn it, Ringling Brothers, not that much in here. various diseases at a sanatorium in in New Orleans. Nice.
Damn, okay, hold up, hold up, hold up. Let's see, smallpox, Ebola, communicable.
Damn it. It does explain the etymology, but it doesn't give you I was hoping to get to like sanitation, but it just says Latin verb root sano, meaning to heal.
I'm going to go to public health.
That's not bad. That's not bad. I think I'm going to click on the AG Holly Hospital. That actually might not be, I'm worried I'm going to click on it. It's going to be a one line Wikipedia page.
Yeah, I was thinking of doing life expectancy, which I think I'm also seeing here.
I might be behind you by wanting to click on public health. You already clicked that, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm on right now.
I could go to public health.
It'd be kind of a dick move.
Yeah, I think that's not allowed, we're going to have to say. Okay, I'm just going to click on the concept of hospice.
Okay. God, they're really not giving any credit to the people who clean the stuff.
I mean, when you think about it, most Wikipedia pages, if you had to concentrate on every type of employee that could be there, would be very long.
But let's see. Hold up. Hold up. Shit. All right. I'm going to go with, because I don't want to go further
into
this. Is it
like a fun fact about Benedict Cumberbatch that like he was a janitor in an earlier life? Because that'd be really helpful.
In an earlier life?
yeah, before he became an actor.
I'm going to go with sanitation.
That's not bad. That's not bad. Okay, I'm going to click on medical social worker. Sure.
Okay, I'm going to go with sanitation workers.
You might actually be working your way into a corner.
What do you mean? This is it. This is basically what a janitor is.
But if it's not on that page, I guess we should check to make sure janitor is a real page.
Jan Etor.
Cleaner. Otherwise, okay, a cleaner is the name of the actual page on Wikipedia.
Cleaner, okay. Oh, wait, no, there's a link for janitor here. Oh, but yeah, it links to cleaner. Okay, yeah, so I'm there, by the way.
Okay.
You still get one more or what?
Oh, yeah, I get my final one. Okay.
Boom! It's Latin. Comes from Latin.
Medical social work. Come on, medical social work.
This would tie it if you got it, or this would be...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So while we're waiting, I got there from sanitation worker to you from sanitation, from public health, from World Health Organization, from semen, from Bactrian camel. Pretty proud of that one.
No, I think my best shot would be social medicine.
Someone's excited to read my full dissertation.
All right, what's the next job, Adrian? Also, you won already. You got 2 out of 3. This is doing best out of 3. Do we do the last one?
Do you want to, or are you done?
I could do it.
Because I'm technically supposed to be at trivia in 15 minutes.
All right, you can add the trivia. All right, you got 2 out of 3, so we'll wrap it up.
All right, yeah. No one needs to see me beat Paul's ass 3 times.
No, you whipped out.
Do a three-peat. Yeah, you know, it was good. It was fun. You know, it was good to exercise the pen, you know, do a little bit of that, just see if I could get back in the ring. But good try, little man. Maybe next time you'll be able to get a point. All right, Big Facts No Cap, get out of here. Thank you for generously letting me leave early. My no cap is, hey, it doesn't matter what kind of guy you are, or gal, or not NB you are, but as long as you find someone who matches your freak, you'll be just fine.
And my big fact is, if you have a weird animal, you should do, like, that magician calling up somebody from the audience bit where you show, like, convince them that it's not, like, a trick cage. Like, be like, you trust that it's a solid cage, right? Feel it from all around. There's no way for the animal to get out.
Now let me check behind your ear.
Let me check behind your ear. That's when you pull the snake out from in their shirt.
It's been here the whole time.
And that's how you make them confident and not feel like the animal's gonna escape.
All right. That's good advice.